Kings chapter 2. Second book of Kings chapter 7. Perhaps for connection with these two verses from chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until Rasa's head was sold for 84 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a camel dust done for 5 pieces of silver. Over to chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites, and the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. Now, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camels and wars, and fled for their life. And when these leprous men came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried 10 silver and golden raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried 10 also, and went and hid it. Then said they one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. And they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there. Neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tent is they wear. And he called the porters and told it to the king's house, and to them. Down to verse 16. And the people went out and spoiled the tent of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. Over for another reading in the book of Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 3. Second book of Samuel chapter 3 and verse 24. Then Job came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out, and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Job was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sarah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside the gate to speak to him quietly, and smote him there under the first rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. And afterward, when David heard that, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever, from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab, and in all his father's house. Let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab, and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth, and march for Abner. And the king himself followed the bier, and they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool died. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And finally, two verses from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continual city, but we seek one to come. And may God bless to us this reading from his own precious word. I wonder if we could take the time and sing two verses of hymn number 126 and number 126, the first and the second verse. The love that Jesus has for me, to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. 126, verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
three different chapters we are praying together tonight. We have three men brought before us in each of them associated with a gate. The first passage we read, 2 Kings chapter 7, we have a man associated with the gate of Samaria. 2 Samuel chapter 3, we have a man, Abner, associated with the gate of Hebron. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 13, we have the blessed Lord Jesus Christ himself. When we read these words, that Jesus, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gain. Over the first one we might look at it as a man that laughed and died. 2 Kings chapter 7, as a man here spoken about, a man that when Elisha declared the message, he didn't believe it. He mocked, he laughed, he scoffed at the very idea that this message could come to pass in such a short time. The man that laughed and died. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, we have Abner, a man that lingered and died. In Hebrews chapter 13, we have a man that loved and died. And from these three thoughts, I would like tonight, by God's help, to bring before you the message of the gospel. I believe in these Old Testament passages, we have clear pictures brought before us of God's message to you and me in the gospel today. First of all, the man that laughed and died in the gate of Samaria. To get the background of the picture of Samaria at this time, we read those two verses from 2 Kings chapter 6. And we saw there how the Syrian army had surrounded Samaria. And there they were at the very point of death. They were dying of starvation. The Syrian army had surrounded them. No supplies whatever could get into the city. And we read here that their condition was so serious that an ass's head was sold for 4 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cabot of stone for 5 pieces of silver. Such was the state of the people in Samaria at that time because of their besiege by the Syrians, that they were at the very point of starvation, died of starvation. So much so that farther down in the 6th chapter of the 2nd book of Kings, we would read that they were at the very point that they were eating one another, dying of starvation. And just there, in their extremity, the man of God comes on the scene with a message from the Lord. I like those words, the words of Elisha, the words of 2 Kings chapter 1. And then Elisha, the man of God, says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Here's a man with a message from the Lord. He says, thus says the Lord. There's no doubt about it. It's a message from the Lord. And the message is a message of deliverance, a message of salvation. He says, tomorrow, about this time, in the gates of Samaria, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. Tomorrow, about this time, here was the man standing at the gate, the man in whose hand the king leaned. And he said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might such a thing be. The man didn't believe it. Impossible. The Syrians were surrounding the city. Absolutely impossible that such a thing should come to pass. We gather that from Elisha's answer when he says to him, he says, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not. Thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. My dear friends, tonight, is it not grand and glorious that in the message of the gospel we have to proclaim to dying men and women a message of salvation, a message of hope, a message of deliverance? Yet is it not the case in the world today? There's many that adopts the very same attitude as this man here at the gate of Samaria. This man here in the gate of Samaria, he didn't believe the message of the man of God. And we'll read in the last verses we read together from this chapter that this very thing came to pass, and the man that didn't believe, he was trodden underfoot, and he died in the gate of Samaria. He died in the gate of Samaria. And is it not sad for them today that as the message of the gospel is going forth throughout the length and breadth of our land, and they proceed to sea and shore to shore, there's many yet still doing the very same as this man did. Many still reject it. Many scoff at it. Many sneer at it. Many laugh at such a message. I trust the son of that time here in this meeting tonight. I trust that each one here in this meeting this evening, as men and women, boys and girls that come to the age of understanding and responsibility, that you realize today that there is a message coming from high heaven, a message to sinful men and women in the deep, a message that can reach them and meet their need and save them with an eternal salvation. As we move down this chapter, we find here in chapter 3 and verse 3, that there was four leprous men that sat at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Why sit we here until we die? Surely, my friend, this is very suggestive. Four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said, why sit we here until we die? If we enter into the city, there's a famine in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the hands of the Syrians. My friends, it's been pointed out again and again that leprosy in the scripture is a picture of sin. And here was four leprous men that were sitting there dying in Samaria. And this is what they say to themselves. Why sit we here until we die? No, my dear friends, I wonder tonight if each one of us has reached that in personal experience. Have we come to a realization that we too are sinful, dying men and women in the sight of God? You see, this leprosy was an incurable disease, a disease that sooner or later must end in death. Death was in their very being. Death was all around them, and there they were sitting in that very place of death. My friends, you and me, God's word makes it very clear and plain that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We go astray as soon as we were born. And again, God's word makes it clear that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You remember Paul preaching to the Romans, he could say, writing to the Romans, he could say, as by the disobedience of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So the death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. As we've said time and again, my friend, this brings us down all to the one common level. Sinners in the sight of God, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. This terrible disease, this deadly disease of sin is within each one of us. And not only that, my friend, but we're in a place of death, a place where sin is rampant. Here they say to themselves, why sit we here until we die? My friend, tonight of yourself and thus beating without Christ in your sins, I would to God that you would say such a thing to your own heart tonight. As you sit upon that seat tonight, if you're still away from God, if you're still in your sins, why do you sit, my friend, as you are until you die? Sooner or later, death must come our way. Sooner or later, death will take us from the scene of time, of the Lord's time. And if you die in your sins, you'll be lost, and lost eternally. Why sit we here until we die? And he says, if we go into the city, death is there. If we can't fall into the hands of the Syrians, if they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall not die. And so this man, they make up their mind, this four leprous men, and they make their way into the host of the city. other words, render, now prepare to surrender. They're now prepared to surrender. They're prepared to cast themselves upon the mercy of the servants. And he says, if they save us alive with them, if we suffer, they tell us, we shall but die. Oh, friends, tonight, is this not a picture of God's way of salvation for you and for me? The only way to safety, the only way to blessing, the only way to salvation is to surrender to the claims of Jesus Christ. Take our places, poor, lost, guilty sinners. Throw down the arms of rebellion. Take our own way no longer. Be prepared to surrender to the claims of Jesus Christ and accept Him as our own personal Savior. And so they make their way into the camp of the chariot. But the Lord in His mercy and goodness, friends, in fulfilling His word spoken through Elisha, He had been there before. He had caused the Syrians to hear a noise of a great army. They thought the Egyptians and the Hittites were coming upon them. And that morning in the twilight, they heard this great noise. And we read that every one of them departed from his tent, leaving everything behind. And they fled for safety, thinking that the great host was coming upon them. It was God moving in a marvelous way to bring blessing and salvation to the starving people of Samaria. God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. There they were, they fled. They left the camp, first they were. And the leprous men, they go in first to one camp, and then to another, and eat, and they drink, and they carry thence gold and silver, and everything that they require. It's all lying there, ready for them, all there for the taking. And I like what they say as we listen to them. There they are, they're satisfying themselves. They've found satisfaction, they've found salvation. They've come safely, and they say, we do not well if we hold our peace. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. He says, come now, that we may go and tell the king's household. Here they were, here was salvation for all Samaria, and they say, we do not well that we hold our peace. Come now, go and tell. Oh, my dear friends, you and me, who tonight are saved by God's sovereign grace, who have experienced this great deliverance, have experienced something of this great salvation that's been worked out for us. Surely this word's compelling to our heart. We do not bear that we hold our peace. This day is a day of good tidings. This day is a day of good tidings. This verse came before my mind this morning, and our brother was bringing before us that passage from John's Gospel, chapter 20. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. And as it was pointed out, if that disciples had not have gone forth and told us this message, there'd be no salvation, no deliverance, no forgiveness for you and for me. My dear friends, tonight we have this message in our hearts and upon our very lips, a message of good tidings, a message of salvation, and yet men and women around us everywhere are dying in their sins, day by day going down to hell itself without God's salvation. And can it be that we're denying them the very message, the very blessing that's within their very reach and upon our very lips? Oh, may God help us to realize that this day is a day of good tidings, and we do not fail that we hold our peace. Surely, my friends, this re-echoes to us the words of the angels to the shepherds long ago. Behold, I bring you good tidings, they could say, for unto you is born the thing that saveth David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The good tidings that was brought to mankind, a Savior was born. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And thank God, friend, we have the glad and glorious message that the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has led the height of glory, come into this world, in order that he might seek and save that which is lost.
Oh, friend, tonight, have you heard the message of the gospel? Has it reached your heart? Have you opened your heart to the Savior? Have you received them in your heart? This day is a day of good tidings, and we do not well that we hold our peace. Come therefore, let us go and tell. Go and tell. And they go and they tell the king's household of the wonderful discovery they have made. And the message goes out, and there the whole company of Samaria, as it spreads throughout the entire city of Samaria, the message that the Syrians have played, their need can be met for the taking. And thank God, as we read in the first verses of this chapter, according to the saying of the man of God, within 24 hours of that message being delivered, a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. 24 hours later, there was God coming in this wonderful way, in a way that seemed impossible. He had met the needs of the starving people, and there was salvation for them right there in the very gate of Samaria. But what about the man that didn't believe? What about the man that laughed at the idea of such a message? We read in verse 17 that the king appointed him charge of the gate, and the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died according to the saying of the man of God. And he died. There he was, the man that disbelieved the message. He was trampled there in the gate, and he died in the gate of Samaria. Oh, my dear friend, today how many are rejecting this message? How many are turning a deaf ear to the message of the gospel? How many are mocking and scoffing and sneering at such a message? And day by day they're dying in their sins and going down to a lost eternity. Friend, how is it with you tonight? I trust that none in this meeting would be like this man, would be disbelieving, would be mocking, would be scoffing, would be laughing at such a message. But oh, friend, that each one of you realizes that you have a precious soul to be saved, that there's one that came from heaven's height to meet your need, and the only way that you can be saved is through simply trusting him, receiving him into your heart and life as your own personal Savior, a man that laughed and he died. But the second passage we had before us in 2 Samuel chapter 3 was a man that lingered and he died. A man that lingered and he died, and his name was Abner. His name was Abner. Abner was the man that was appointed over the host of Saul. Abner, you remember, the Lord had said earlier on to Moses, he had appointed cities of refuge, that if any man was guilty of the shedding of another's blood, there might be that cities of refuge that he might flee unto. And once that he was committed that deed, if he fled to the city of refuge, then he would be saved till such time as he was tried. According to Joshua chapter 20, Hebron was one of the cities that was appointed one of the cities of refuge. Abner had been guilty of the blood of Ahiel, Job's brother. And there Job, he sent a messenger to Abner. He calls him to him, and he brings him right there to the gate of Hebron. And there he speaks to him in the gate of Hebron. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Job took him aside in the gate to speak to him quietly, and smote him there under the thumb, that he died. Abner should have known that Job was the very man that had this against him. He had slain his brother Ahiel, and he should have known that it was very unwise for him to linger there in the gate of Hebron. He should have escaped into the city, that he might have been saved into the city of refuge. But he lingered here in the gate, and he died.
My dear friend, I believe that in this meeting tonight, there's none that would laugh or mock at God's message of salvation. But I do believe it's verily possible that there might be some in this meeting tonight, and like Abner, you're lingering. You'll all find well that you're in a place, friend, that's exposed to the judgment of God. If you're still not under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ, you're still exposed to the oncoming judgment of a holy God. And friends, tonight, you know as well as me that there's just one way of salvation, through simply accepting Jesus Christ who died in Calvary for your sin as your own personal Savior, accepting Him into your heart and into your life. My dear friend, you may know all that. You may know your need of a Savior. You may realize that you're a sinner. You may know tonight that if you die in your sins, you'll be lost and lost eternally. Yet I believe there's many that know all that. They know the way of salvation, and yet they're lingering at the very gate. Lingering at the very gate. Oh, I would to God, friend, that tonight you would see the message from Abner, that you would learn from his foolishness. David said to him later on, as David stood by his open grave, he says this. He said, "Thy Abner, as a fool dieth, thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou, so fellest thou." Thy Abner, as a fool dieth, a man that could have been saved. He was in the very gate. He was almost there, but he lingered there, and he died. Oh, my friend, are you almost there tonight? Can you look back to a night gone by, some other time in your life's experience, when you were almost there? God was speaking to your heart. God was moving upon you, but you lingered. Oh, friend, God forbid that you should linger too longer, and like Abner, die without salvation. Died Abner, David says, as a fool dieth. Died Abner, as a fool dieth. Wasn't it last Sunday night that we were reminded from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, of a man that the Lord Jesus Christ himself calls a fool? You remember the rich man there? He says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be?" There was a man in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and he had provided shelter for all his harvest, but he had provided no shelter for himself from the oncoming judgment. Oh, my dear friend, tonight, are you in the shelter? Are you in the cleft of the rock? Are you in Christ tonight? Has your sin tonight washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you in a safe place tonight? Or are you still outside, exposed to the righteous wrath of a holy sin-making God? Says David died Abner as a fool dieth. And we can think of different men in the New Testament scriptures, friends that died just at that very moment when it seemed that they could have been saved, or men that lingered and they were lost and lost eternity because they delayed. You think of Paul as he spoke that day to Agrippa, giving his defense. He tells there of how the Lord saved him on the Damascus Road. He tells of how the Lord took him from the people and of how he sent them out to proclaim the glad tidings to men and women. And as he preaches that day before Agrippa, we read these words. And Agrippa says, "All must thou persuade me to be a Christian, a man that linger." There he was, under the powerful preaching of the Apostle Paul. He says that word himself, "All must thou persuade me to be a Christian." And oh, you see, the Apostle Paul, as he left his hands that day with the chains wrapped upon his wrist, and he said, "I would to God that thou wert not only almost, but altogether, such as I am, except for these bonds." Here was a man, my friend, with an urge within himself to go and tell the glad tidings, to go and tell the message, that he was prepared to go into bonds, he was prepared to face hardship and death itself, in order that he might spread the glorious message of the gospel, that one soul might be saved. Now he preaches to Agrippa that day, and brings before him his need. Agrippa trembles and says,
hunger. His lingering at the very gate of heaven. His hunger, friend, and he was lost. And lost eternally. You remember later how Paul preaches to fellows again, and he brings before Felix death. He brings before us death, righteousness, and judgment to come. And the reason there is Felix that he trembled, but he said, go thy way for this time, when I have a more convenient season. On thee I call, a man that was almost. A man that was almost there, but he lingered at the gate. Oh, friend, tonight I ask you again, has it been some time in your past life experience? Has it tonight, friend, that you're almost there? You know you're a sinner in the sight of God. You know that God's judgment is coming one day upon the scene. You know if you die in your sin, you'll be lost, and lost eternally. And yet in the face of all of that, are you lingering at the very gate of heaven? You cannot make up your mind. You cannot decide. The world and all the officers crowding in upon you, your companions, the many things that rise up before you, and you're hindered, and you're lingering at the very gate tonight. Oh, friend, learn from Abner. Died Abner, David says, as a fool dieth. And the man that dies without Christ, friend, with the message of the gospel ringing in his ears, a way of salvation, a way of escape, God's word says, he's a fool. Oh, friend, be wise tonight for your own sake. Be wise for your soul's salvation. And look to Calvary. Look to the man on Calvary. Now, as we turn to the last scriptures we read together tonight, Hebrews chapter 13, a man that loves and he dies. No, friend, this is the man that can meet your need. This is the man that can save you. Ah, yes, Abner died in his sin. Abner died in his sin. The man at the gate of Samaria died in his sin. But here was a man, my friend, as we are reminded this morning, that died for the sin of the world, the sin of the world. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. See the man of Calvary, the very same man that the angels heralded forth the message concerning 33 years before. Behold, we bring you glad tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That one is lived upon the scene, he's growing up upon the scene as a man amongst men. There, as he's passed through the scene, he's proved without a shadow of a doubt that he was God's Son from heaven, God manifest in the flesh. My friend, here was the only righteous man. Here was the only holy, perfect man that ever lived upon the scene. God's beloved Son. But see him now, friend, as they take him and they lead him up outside the city wall, outside Jerusalem's gate. See him as they lead him up Calvary's now. There in Calvary's summit, they crucify him. They crucify him. The gospel tells us that there on Calvary, between two thieves, Jesus intimates, there they crucified him. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. A man that had every right to live, a man that had no sin to die for, and yet for you and me, poor sinners that had turned our back upon him and taken our own way, he was prepared to go outside the gate and up Calvary's hill, and there upon its summit be crucified. View him tonight, my friend. View him tonight. See him there as he's looking up in the middle tree at Calvary, nailed to that horn gibbet by the hands and by the feet. No, my dear friend, tonight, have you been turning your back upon such a person? If you can laugh at such a message, if you can linger when such a message rings in your ears, God have mercy upon you. God have mercy upon you. There's a man lifted up upon Calvary's middle tree. He's crowned with a crown of thorns. His back has been lacerated. The hair has been plucked from his cheeks. And he's dying there upon the middle tree at Calvary. Who says, your precious soul and mine. A man that died, and he died. God, wherefore, now Paul says to the Romans, search me for a righteous man, will one die. die. There is death, dear, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, my friend, God loves you. Christ died for you. He longs to save your precious soul. He's given us life's blood for your salvation. Tonight, friend, are you passing on by? Are you running? Are you laughing? Are you trampling underfoot that precious blood that can save your precious soul? A man that died. Oh, be wise tonight, friend. See how he suffered for thee there upon the tree. No, tonight, come, as you are a poor, guilty sinner. Fall down like the leprous men surrender tonight. Fall down before him. Accept him into your heart and life as your own personal Savior. You have nothing to lose but your sin, my friend. You have everything to gain. Your feet will be turned from the broad road onto the narrow way that leads home to heaven. Oh, friend, tonight, come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he stands standing today, tenderly saying, come, come. Will you come to him now? Come to him now. Receive him as your own personal Savior. Thank God, he says in his word to his many, as receive him. To them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. My dear friend, if you come in true repentance, if you come in sincerity and bow at the Savior's feet, I tell you, friend, he can save you tonight. He can cleanse you tonight. He can keep you tonight. And praise God, he'll land you on heaven's shore. For thank God, he's not only died in Calvary, but he's risen again from among the dead. He's ascended through Satan, bearing him, and seated at God's right hand in the glory. That Satan can no longer hold you, my friend. Satan no longer can hold you if you'll come to Christ. Christ has defeated the foe. He can liberate you tonight if you'll come to him and receive him as your own personal Savior. My friend, is Christ yours tonight? Is it real in your life tonight? Has he possession of your life tonight? Has he the victory in your life tonight? Friend, make sure about it tonight. No matter what your past has been, no matter what your past profession has been, friend, make sure about it tonight, that tonight you have Christ in your heart, the hope of glory, through simple receiving him by faith as your own personal Savior. Thank God, you can know this assurance, you can do it tonight, if you'll only come as you are and believe on his name. God grant that you may do it. For his name's sake, let us pray. Our Father, we come in thy presence again in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do thank thee again for what the Savior has done for us. We thank thee, O God, again for a man that died on the center tree of Calvary, that lost his son for blood. And we bless thee, our God, that tonight he offers a full and a free salvation to the whosoever will may come. Oh, God forbid that there's any in this meeting tonight who still never come to him, that they should linger at the very door of hell and be eternally lost. Remember Judas long ago of how he kissed the door of heaven and went to his own place. Lord, have mercy upon men and women now, we pray. Speak by the Holy Spirit's power, we beseech thee. And God grant that there be an unsafe one in our midst, that this very night they may come to the Savior. Thus we ask for our thanksgiving. In his worthy name, amen. We sing in closing one verse of hymn number 112.
Thank you.
you one and all for coming along here tonight to listen to the message of the gospel. And I invite you back again next Sunday night, God willing, at the same hour when the gospel will be preached. Next Sunday night at 6:15, God willing. But my dear friend, as long as you be in the will of the Lord, tonight if you're still in your sin, if you have never come to Christ, we would plead with you at the closing moment of this meeting. And ere another day comes, and God knows what it may bring forth, but here today we may be gone tomorrow. At this very night you'll open your heart and let the Savior in. Jesus still is waiting, waiting still for thee.